End of the Blender, episode 46. You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to media reviews.
Or whatever shiny object catches our eye that day. Your heart's beating for me. I'm just waiting to see. Where's the line that you would draw behind me? And never let me be. Welcome back, everybody that actually hung around and waited for another episode.
Yay, you.
Yay. This is Viv.
And this is Chooch.
And we're sorry, it's been a while between episodes. Blah, 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 chaos. Blah, 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 excitement. Blah, 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 family stuff. Blah, 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 we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out from a long day of lumberjacking.
Weekend.
A long weekend of lumberjacking, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Today was the final dump run. Yeah. Last wood chopping.
Yeah.
Chainsawing.
We had some crazy overgrowth in our backyard from our trees that we've been ignoring for 2 years, and we just couldn't ignore anymore. So
they were threatening the shed and the fence and all sorts of things.
So we had to manage mischief, and here we are anyways, as exhausted and sore and tired as we are.
Got to do lots of workout with the chainsaw and realized one of the flaws in the zombie preparedness plan. Chainsaw's electric.
Yes.
We need to switch that up to gas.
We can only run like 50 feet away and then stand our, do our big battle
stand. They don't trip on the cord as they shamble towards us.
Yeah, that's a real flaw, honey. I told you, I want to go in the first wave. I'm not going to be running from no zombies. I'm going to be laying down and making sure my hair is pulled back and out of the way so they get easy access to the brain so that I can just... It's just too much stress. You know, I'm supposed to minimize my stress.
So do you want to put in a preference now? Do you want to be chainsawed or bullet?
I don't think that I have to worry about that because I will be a zombie. So you could do whatever you got to do to bring me down. Please don't ruminate too hard on it right now. I don't like the gleam in your eye as you're plotting removing my head. Can we just move on?
Certainly.
Oh my gosh. That's the flaw in my plan. Of course, the other zombies are going to take you down because you're going to be taking your time and enjoying.
No.
Getting rid of your wife zombie.
No, no.
Zombie wife, I guess. that was interesting. A little peek inside your psyche.
I was just wondering if you'd have a preference.
You were just really contemplating the whole thing, though.
Well, I never thought of, you know. Is that something you could put in like a living trust or something, like in case of zombie, this is how I want to go out?
Well, okay. We have some friends that probably would know this. So if anybody knows, if you have to put in a clause for zombification of your spouse,
you know, like they have to do not resuscitate orders and that kind of thing.
Oh my.
Somebody's thinking about it.
Well, yeah. Somebody's going to make
Making bank. Yeah. Well, start a template, the zombie.
Like those online will.
Undead trust. Yeah.
A zombie will service. That's nice.
Well.
And it's funny because of all the things that we talked about, talking about tonight, nowhere did zombie come in at all.
You never know where it's going to pop up.
Okay, so we wanted to actually talk about Balticon first.
A little bit. I mean,
yeah.
People have probably gotten all sorts of info from other feeds.
Right.
And we had put in, the last episode was the live Balticon, so obviously we were there.
Yes. With fabulous people.
Yeah. Yeah. I just ended up that.
Ooh, that sounded so like pompous. With fabulous people.
I just had a note about how much fun it was.
Yeah.
Another excellent year, already gears turning for plans for next year and things to do better and expand. And
I'm exhausted already. Well, you know, I'd been worried about Balticon because I didn't know with my health issues how I was going to do because it's a pretty hardcore weekend if, you know, you're working panels and stuff. And we did have panels, some together, some separate. And we also did the new media party. And I mean, I stress like a mofo for that thing. It's just, you know, you work really hard and you really stress over it, but I like really internalize a lot of it. And so I was really stressed about that. But everybody seemed to have a really good time. Mm-hmm. Thank God. Thank you, baby Jesus, because we've gotten nothing but compliment after compliment.
Yeah. On it.
So thank heavens and thank everybody that helped us with that. We had so many people that contributed money towards the party fund and that came before the party and after the party and helped us do all this work.
Mm-hmm.
For Evan Mahat's people.
Yeah. That was epic.
And congratulations again to Dave Slusher, the Geek Prom King, and Helen Cynical Woman Madden for her reign as the Geek Prom Queen. They were fabulous. And they wore their crown, their sashes
mm-hmm.
the rest of the weekend, or portions of the weekend, at least when I saw them. It was really cool.
That was fun. There's still some audio from different panels that I'm not sure if we will put it in the feed or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think we will. I mean, there was at least one or two that were kind of related to family issues.
Yeah.
One of the panels I was on was about family and social media.
Yeah, that definitely needs to be put in, I think. The conversation definitely veered at several points, mm-hmm. but I think that there was still some information in there that people would find useful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that definitely needs to go in.
Yeah.
And I had done a live, my new solo, no, it's not really solo, my own podcast that Chooch isn't on, Girls mm-hmm. Rules podcast, which is all women, and that went really well. And it just occurred to me a couple days ago that I never did. I had posted the live show that had Mer Lafferty, J.R. Blackwell, Christiana Ellis, and Philippa Ballantyne. Mm-hmm. I interviewed them. I never put a clean version in the feed, which mm-hmm. is what I really want to do. So that's going to be coming out in there too. So don't let me forget that.
Yeah.
But so anybody that's an ITB listener that has girls or, you know, young women that are interested in writing, we covered some really fantastic ground with these really amazing authors, very thoughtful and intelligent and creative women. So I'm going to get a clean version up there. I've got the one in there now marked explicit because... Mm-hmm. A couple of cuss words were dropped here and there. Nothing major.
No.
But I am going to put a clean one in there because I want my friend's daughters to hear it. So I know they're kind of pretty religious and I want to make sure it's clean for them.
Cool. Yeah.
What else did you want to talk about? Balticon. There was so much. And I did a blog post on it already. So I feel like I covered a lot of ground on that. And we've got Flickr pictures up and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff out there.
Yeah.
The next big con, Dragon Con. Yeah. Which... I started to say is still somewhat iffy on whether we can go or not.
And I said it's iffy for you, but I'm determined. I am determined.
I mean, we had a room reserved, you know, almost practically before you could get them. I mean, lickety split.
Yeah, we got, I persevered on getting the room reservation. So I really want to go.
I really want to go too.
We just got to sort out the finances.
Yeah. Money and leave from work and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So we're hoping.
Last year was just so much fun and so many cool people are going this year. And I don't even remember what the big names were, you know, the celebrity
Shatner
kind of stuff.
Shatner and Nimoy.
They're going to be there again?
Oh, for this year? I thought you were meant for last year.
No, I meant, what to look forward to this year. I'm not even sure.
Marina Baccarin's going to be there. So my little heart's going pitter-pat.
Mm-hmm.
God, you know, I just was looking at that again so I could sway you, so I could further woo you. I'm drawing a blank right now, though. You know, I've got a little brain fog going on.
Yeah.
But Marina's going to be there.
Cool.
But she's got the V hairdo, which to me is not nearly as sexy as the Inara.
No, it's true.
But she's still such a spectacular.
She's still on her own scale, though, so... It still works.
That's true. The Marina Baccarin scale is still way above the rest of us mortal females. That's for sure. Now, there's a lot of really cool people. But, you know, for me, a lot of it is the people that we know that go.
Yeah.
So, I really want to go. It's before my birthday. I'm completely happy with that being my birthday.
Cool.
Kind of like PAX East was your birthday.
Yeah.
I think we have a new rule. Your birthday's PAX East, my birthday's Dragon Con, and we just have to pretend that that's the amount that we would have spent.
Right.
Because it's way more than we would have spent otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. Cons do get a little expensive. the food's a bit expensive. They're generally far away.
Yeah.
Though we save a bunch driving.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Well, how gas goes, sometimes you don't know if it's going to be less expensive to fly.
We'll figure it out. Hopefully I'll get my way.
Speaking of flying.
Oh, yeah.
Recently, LT flew home.
Yes.
For some summertime visiting.
He flew in beginning of June.
And then we all flew to Cali.
To visit Jay.
Yeah.
And the rest of your fantastic family.
So it was all of us.
Yeah. Which we haven't gotten all four of us out there at the same time since Christmas 2006.
Yeah.
So it was long overdue. Yeah. And we were laughing because we did family portraits again since it was all five of us. And when we were in there, Jay said, "Ooh, let's do this pose because we did this one before." Mm-hmm. And then we can see how much we've changed. And I was like, okay, further proof this kid's a genius. Because I didn't even go there. I was like, oh, we can compare them. Oh, same pose, that really. So we did that pose. And it's just hilarious how much everybody's changed.
Yeah.
How much the guys have changed. It's just like a whole new set of kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it was... The whole time was just fabulous. LT being here, it went way too fast. Our time in California was just excruciatingly, it was so hard to leave. It just, I'm so addicted to Jay.
He's got a late. We had so much fun. We did the beach thing, a day at the beach. Mm-hmm. And we went out to my dad's. It's out in the Colorado River where it's very hot.
Yeah.
Very, very hot.
But it's the dry heat, so it's not as bad as what we're dealing with in Virginia.
Well, you were saying you were comparing.
Oh, right. When we were driving out to the desert, I did a weather.com lookup on my smartphone, and it was, I can't remember the exact numbers now, but in Virginia, it was like 80-something degrees, and with humidity, it was like 103.
Right.
And where your dad lives, it was like
112.
It was like 112. And with the heat index, it was down to like 108. So there was like a 6-degree temperature variation between where it was, where we live versus where your father lives in the high desert.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, shoot me.
It's not fair.
It's not fair. You know, 80 degrees should be a pretty nice day, but no. Yeah. Not with the humidity, it's painful. But there really was such a difference still, because we've had days here that the heat index was as high as it gets at your dad's. But the fact that they live on the river and they've got that nice breeze coming through most of the time makes it seem more comfortable.
Yeah.
But still, when we were driving out there and we stopped, we got in the car. It was like 75 degrees in Southern California. And then we drive like two or three hours.
A 4-hour drive to my dad's. So we had gotten most of the way and then finally stopped for gas and stuff.
And for a potty break for the kids. And so we opened the doors and it was like opening the door into an oven.
Yeah.
I will say that was very shocking. Our little bubble of, you know, air conditioning kept us comfortable. And then we kind of bolted it because we were like, turn out the heat. And when we got back in the cars to leave and touched the windows, the glass on the windows, they were hot, like a heating element hot. It was just, so there is a difference. It's just your perception of how hot you are is different than when you're in a really humid area like ours. So, but it was so beautiful out there. And our visit there was a little shorter than we wanted. And it was just, I just love it out there though. They were so sweet and took us out on the boat on the river, and the kids just had a blast.
Got the big pontoon party boat.
Yeah.
And what we do is we kind of drive up the river a couple miles, and then you just jump off the boat. You get either an inner tube or a life vest, and you just kind of tie yourself off to the boat
so you don't float away too far.
And you just float.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very peaceful.
Yeah. And the kids just loved it. It was fantastic. And we got to hang out with your dad and your stepmom, and they're so fun. They're just so crazy. I don't think the boys were old enough to really appreciate how like funny and kind of zany they are.
Yeah.
And they just, all three of the boys, your dad had them rolling. They were cracking up with some of his old stories. It was so cool to see that. And it was so cool for him to see them.
Yeah.
See him that way.
Yeah.
He got to enjoy them seeing him that way.
Yeah,
he was getting a kick out of it.
Got a lot of stories.
And you could see he would tell a story and they'd start cracking up and his eyes would kind of light up and he'd come up with another one that would top the last. And we got a lot of time with your sister and her family and your mom. Mm-hmm. That was really great. That was just because, you know, your mom had some health problems. And so we've been really, really, really worried about her and seeing how well she's doing. And, you know, that was just heartwarming. Yeah. That was such a relief.
We stayed at my sister's while we were there, and my mom was staying there because they're kind of doing some remodel in her place.
To make it
They're pulling out carpet and putting down hardwood floors and all that stuff. So we were just kind of all together, big house packed.
Yep.
One day we had my other sister in Illinois. They popped up their webcam. So we had the webcams going on either side. Yep. She was there because both of her daughters.
Yep.
Were home for the weekend. Mm-hmm. So they had just had a big dinner. So they've got the daughters and grandkids and
we've got to do that more pretty often. Wild. There's no reason for us not to be doing that.
Yeah.
Your sister needs a webcam.
Yeah.
Get your mom set up with one if she doesn't have one already.
Yeah. I can't remember if she does or not.
Cause we were using your laptop for that.
Yeah. That was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I've used my Android phone internet wireless tether to do video conference.
Yeah, your sister was blown away with that.
And it had a couple disconnects, which were mostly my fault, losing power. They threw me an extension cord and didn't mention it wasn't plugged into the other end. So that was Details. One interruption.
You're kidding. It's so funny. Because we scrambled to get that cord. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was plugged in either.
Yeah,
little details.
Mm-hmm.
Power.
But the wireless internet worked flawlessly.
Yeah, because they were doing the big, okay, let's get mom inside. And I was like, hold on, just wait a second. And you're out, you came. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So we had the one day with the video conference with the sister in Illinois. And then we had another day where my brother's wife and son came out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could say my brother's widow and son came out.
Yeah, the sound of that.
But they were doing really good.
Yeah.
It was great to see them.
Yeah, it was. It's one of those things that's good, kind of like with your mom. Everybody says, oh, okay, everybody's doing okay. But it's like you got to kind of put your eyes on them and see in their eyes that they're okay. And
yeah.
It's been a rough year for them, but, you know, they've got so much love that, you know, from him and of him and around them that, you know, they're okay.
Mm-hmm. It's great to see them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he isn't writing anymore. He's not able to afford it now.
That was really hard to hear.
And he did graduate high school and he's got a job at a water park. He's a lifeguard.
Yeah. He's just trying to figure out what his next move's going to be.
Well, I think he was signed up or getting ready to sign up at the college nearby.
Oh, good. That's good. Well, I mean, it's still summer, of course.
Yeah.
We were lucky that M jumped right into college that first immediate semester. So it seems kind of like, well, you know, he should have started by now, but no, most people take the summer off.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They're doing good, though. It was really good to see them. It just, I was so just bummed. I was totally emo. We have to leave. I don't want to go. We'll just get Kaylee sent out here. I don't want to leave. Because it's just, you know, and I know part of it's the vacation.
Yeah.
We're staying with your sister and her husband, and they spoil us.
Yeah.
I mean.
They're very good to us.
They absolutely pull out all the stops, spoil us. And, you know, who doesn't love that? But, I mean, just beyond that, everybody is so, like, loving and funny and, you know, getting to spend time with your niece and her kids and her boyfriend. And just, it was just a wonderful time all around from beginning to end. And seeing the kids again, kind of like with your dad, seeing the kids older now, really getting a lot. Cause you know, Jay was really young and well, I mean, he sees them more, but like having all three of our guys together. Yeah. You know, M is 19, LT is 13, J is 10. So they're older now, and it's just so cool to see them really appreciate how much trouble everybody goes to for us rather than when they're younger and they're like, well, I want that. I'm going to take it, and gee, thanks, you know, and then move on to the next thing. But now they're like, really, thank you, you know. I really dig seeing the growth that all three of them have had over the last several years since we got them all out there. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Time marches on, my man. It's just freaking me out with these kids, though.
Oh, we had a miniature video game review while we were there. Yeah. Em bought a game on PS3. I don't know if it's available for Xbox.
Oh, man, that game is so wrong.
Or for PC.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's an exclusive to PS3, but it's called Naughty Bear.
And it is very naughty.
It's rated teen.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely violent, but there's no blood or gore because they're teddy bears.
Yeah.
But it's probably the most brutal game I've ever seen. So even though there's no blood and gore, it is not anywhere appropriate for children. Yeah. Because they've got just stuffing that flies out. But they're so brutal about it.
Yeah.
This naughty bear is so naughty. He didn't get invited to a birthday. And he had bought and wrapped a present and everything. They got the swarmy English announcer guy.
Uh-huh.
And you even had a present. You should do something about this. So he goes and basically slaughters everybody at the party. So there's all these different missions and, you know, level ups and weapons you get. And it's just so brutal. And when he has each of the weapons, when he's beating on these bears, he has, you know, very specific ways that he does it. So, like, you know, he uses the golf club different than the baseball bat.
Right.
And then
it's a different kind of swing.
Right. Different little copper bears will come, and then you kill the copper bear, and now you got a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Or you sabotage things. You sabotage the fuse box outside the house. Lights go out. One of the bears gets curious and comes around, and then you, like, shove them in and electrocute them, and it is brutal, but so much fun.
I didn't see a whole lot of it because most of it was going on like when I was getting ready and you guys mm-hmm. were waiting, or they were waiting to get in the shower or whatever. But what I did see was so disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was concerned, you know, we did a whole question and answer thing because I didn't want Jay to see it. If mm-hmm. it was just based on the description, I was like, you know, I got a problem with this. We need to make sure it's okay. And I mean, what was the game he said he was playing?
He plays a lot of the first-person
shooter games. But he mentioned one that I said, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
This he plays that at home. This compared to that, it's going to be
Modern Warfare.
Yeah, Call of Duty or something like that. And I was like, well, you know, that's not anything that I think is, I don't think Naughty Bear was anywhere near as, well, I don't know. It was seeing them, and tell me if I'm misremembering this, but I swear, watching him do one of those, the victim teddy bear was like his feet were twitching or something like that. So he was having like body reactions like you would expect a human who's taking a headshot to have.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like, you know, the head gets hit and that's it. No, the body kind of like flails a bit. It's just very disturbing. So one of the reasons I don't play first person shooter games, because they're so realistic,
mm-hmm.
it bothers me. And I had empathy for teddy bears, mm-hmm. you know, inanimate objects.
Yeah. So. Then was the only one I actually played.
Yeah. But it was a hit to the point that LT nicknamed M Naughty Bear. He was Naughty Bear. So, yeah, it was a big hit with the guys. So, gross.
Gotta look at getting a copy.
Yeah. And I finally got to bake cheesecake for your family.
Yeah, that was talk about a hit.
Yeah. Your niece, who I have friended on Facebook, who's always seen me say baking this cheesecake, baking that cheesecake, mm-hmm. baking a pie, baking this pie. She's like, we never get to taste any of that stuff. And so I took my cheesecake pan because mm-hmm. I didn't know if your sister would have one, and took the recipe and baked one. And it was, like you said, a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and part of it was my mother's birthday was the second day we were there.
Yeah.
And on my mom's birthday, we always do this eat dessert first thing. And so we did, your sister made this big, wonderful spaghetti and meatballs thing for dinner, and we had the cheesecake first. So I was trying to get it in and out and chilled and set up and all that stuff. And it was a hit. Mm-hmm. And like 2 or 3 days later, I went and looked, and there was like, or no, you told me that your mom wanted the last slice.
Right.
And I guess I asked your sister if your niece had had a slice yet, because she doesn't live with her, with her mom. And she said, oh, no, no, I'm not worried about that. And I was like, well, she's the reason I baked it. She has to at least get a slice. So I baked another cheesecake so that she could have some, too. And it turns out that her boyfriend, it's his very favorite dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time that her, is he 3 or 4?
I think he's 3.
Okay. Her son, your niece's son, so your great-nephew, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He loved it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He, well, do you want cherries or do you want blueberries? Both. So I put a little pile of cherries on one side of the cake cheesecake, a little pile of blueberries, and he was just like, for it. It was so cute. But yeah, that was a hit. So I think that they're happy with me being in the family, finally. No, 7 please. Years later.
Finally, that's that.
I know. I'm just kidding. They're fantastic, though. I just love them to pieces. Move there in a heartbeat if we could find work.
Yeah.
For, you know.
That's the hard part.
For more than a quarter of what we can earn out here. Because it's expensive out there.
That's, yeah. It's very expensive.
I actually, there were some houses that I saw that were up for sale. And when we got back, I looked up to see what the prices were. And I almost fell backwards out of my chair. Because yeah. It was just like, that's more than our house. It's like a half, less than half the size, right. On no land, no air conditioning. Wow. But, you know, that's a really fantastic place to live. So yeah. I can understand why. But we're going to keep looking for jobs. I mean, you've had feelers out on jobs out there for.
Yeah, I've got an automatic.
9 years or something.
Yeah. This little automatic tool and it. Goes through looking for government jobs.
Right, which is important.
And, you know, in the last 10 years, there's only been a handful yeah. of jobs that have opened near that area. And of those, none of them were in my pay range.
Yeah. Well,
they were all big, significant cuts in pay.
And not only that, but you said they were only open for a week.
Oh, yeah. Normally,
when a government job is only open for a week, it's because they, for whatever reason, whether mm-hmm. they won't ever admit this, but they've got somebody in mind for the position yeah, already.
Usually
but they
promoting
still have
from within,
right?
Which by law they're not allowed to pre-select candidates and da da da.
Right.
But everybody does it.
Well, and that's how I've moved up. You know, mm-hmm. that I mean, it's not like they chose me for it, but they opened it, and it's one of those things. If you interview one, you have to interview them all, so you mm-hmm. can not hold interviews. Which is allowed. You can have that short open window and all that stuff like that. You can't select somebody that's not as qualified as other people on mm-hmm. the list. You know, that's, there's yeah. all kinds of regulations.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the fact that, you know, you put in for these jobs, they close in a week or less and you never hear back about it because mm-hmm. they haven't done interviews. They've just hired the person that they wanted. So it's not even just the pay concern. It's, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that you never had a chance. They just listed it because they had to.
Well, yeah. But going into an area that has a higher cost of living and then taking a big cut yeah. in pay, it's, you know, tough.
Yeah.
It's like double jeopardy.
Yeah. So it's just, it sucks because I would love to be out there. You know, I think I could overcome my, and oh, and that was crazy. Every time we go to California, I have this crazy, oh, there's going to be an earthquake while we're here. It's this time.
Right.
It's this time. There's going to be an earthquake. It's okay, fine. Just don't let anybody get hurt. I will be okay. I won't freak too hard. Mm-hmm. Just let everybody be okay. So we're out there, and like halfway through the trip, we find out that there was a freaking earthquake in Maryland.
Yeah.
We've got friends that were like, oh, I thought what was it? Heather said, I thought the washing machine was tilted or something right. like that, or off center. And it right. was like, no, it was an earthquake. And I'm like, what the heck? You know, yeah. It was crazy. The boys were all kind of disappointed. I'm like, we wouldn't have felt it where we lived anyways. True, but yeah. I mean, what the heck? That was crazy. And it was cute because this one friend of ours, I don't know who else tweeted it, but this one friend of ours, John Taylor Williams, had retweeted somebody's the aftermath,
right?
The damage after the earthquake, and it was like a lawn chair pulled over on its side or something like that. Because yeah, it was really minor, like 3.4 or something like yeah. that. But yeah, that was I was fine with that. Got another trip without an earthquake.
Yeah. Oh, and with the job thing, I've thought a couple times of, you know, getting out of government service
yeah.
and just going in and finding a regular job.
Yeah,
regular job.
A private sector job.
Yeah, private sector job. But I have so many friends out there and out here.
Yeah.
That the way the economy's been, have been out of work for long periods yeah. of time. So.
This isn't, unfortunately.
It just terrifies me.
Yeah. And but I mean, that even hit before
the current economy. Yeah,
it's the been last... like a decade or something yeah. like that. Because you had friends that.
There's been a bunch in California that were in the IT sector
yeah.
who would be out of work for 6 months at a stretch.
Yeah.
And I know that they're really, really good at what they do.
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, good references and everything.
And it's not even, you know, heck, I don't care. I'll live on ramen noodles or whatever, but we've got responsibilities for the kids that mm-hmm. we have to make sure are covered.
Yeah.
And so it's one thing for us to say, well, we'll take a cut in pay and we'll just do without, but you still have to make sure the kids don't do without. Yeah. And that's the rub. That's the damnable part, you know? So, but I mean, it's nothing that, you know, a million other families aren't going through.
Yeah,
we're not
everywhere.
The only family that has to, you know, travel from coast to coast to see each other. It's just really hard to actually drive away,
get
on the plane.
Right.
It's just like all four of us were just kind of hangdog, you know, because the boys had such a fabulous time that they were saying, that's it, we're moving out here. And I'm like, I want to come too. Can I live with you? It's just every time we go, it's like, oh, that was the best visit yet. So it's like, mm-hmm. is there ever going to be a point where it's like, oh, this wasn't as good as the last trip? They're just, you know, it's just so tantalizing and makes me want to just throw everything out the window and just go live in a box or something. Although Kaylee would need nicer than a box. She would eat the box.
This is true. This is true. She would eat the box.
Yeah.
Tell me, Arthur Blanchard. Fetidus is back.
Ugh! Look what you did!
All the episodes have been recorded.
Hello, Mr. Blanchard. Would you like a drink?
Even the finale.
Come on, my friend. There's been enough vengeance tonight.
Join us from the beginning.
And he's a zombie, of course. The Zombie in Chief tonight.
Starting July 9th, 2010. Every Friday is Fetidus Day until the thrilling conclusion.
Does it matter?
Does it matter?
Does it matter?
Begin with episode 1, Bring Your Friends, and join Art Blanchard in the fetid back streets of post-apocalyptic Washington, D.C. at fetidus.org.
Of course it matters.
Of course it matters.
Of course it matters, you puny human.
You puny human.
You puny human.
It is time.
It is time.
Hey, this is Felicia Day, and you're listening to Chooch and Viv.
What's been going on? I had joined a band.
Yes.
And I don't think we talked about it on here.
I can't remember if we talked about it or not. Because the way the timing was,
mm-hmm.
you didn't actually join the band until like a week and a half before Balticon
right.
or so. So this may be news.
Yeah. Well, the horror author and podcaster, Phil Rossi, great guy. We met him. Hung out a few times at previous Balticons and his book signing and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And off and on, we had talked about music, and he had started a new band a while back and kind of really, he would talk on Twitter and stuff about how he's kind of really, you know, reinvigorated. For a long time, he had focused on writing and he was playing in a couple other bands. And so it started this new band, you know, to just play his music and they were having a hard time finding a bass player. And he had hit me up pretty early on saying, hey, you want to come play bass with us? It's a lot of fun, but you got to be able to commit to Saturdays. And I told him, you know, Saturdays are really hard. Most of our friends, when they want to do things, it's usually on a Saturday.
Our friends and our family and the, yeah.
And our weekends are usually booked up with stuff.
And they live far away.
Yeah.
That's the really hard part is the distance.
It's really close to my work. And I was telling him, you know, if it was any other day of the week, I could, you know, throw my bass in the car and be there for practice on any other day after work.
Yeah.
That would work really well. And he's like, oh, well, you know, think about it. And Balticon got closer. And he had come, hey, you know, me and the drummer, we do these things on Friday afternoons. Like, we do a lunchtime jam for, you know, 45 minutes and and go back to work. You gotta come and just, you know, jam. It's like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
Because it's 15 minutes from the office.
Yeah.
So I threw my equipment in the car on a Friday and we played like a song or two and they were just like, oh, that's what we've been missing. Oh, this is so much better. Yeah. You got to join the band. It's like, this is a lot of fun. It's, it had been.
You were glowing.
It had been, I think I had figured out about 17 years since I had played music with other people.
Yeah.
Off and on, my brother and I had gotten together and goof around on things, but that was really far.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's just me, you know.
In the studio.
Doing things on my own, different styles of music and stuff. And he's like, well, you know, we're going to play Balticon.
Mm-hmm.
So we could get together like one night this week. And like you say, that was about a week and a half. So he threw me a bunch of MP3s of the songs they'd been playing. It's about an, you know, hour long set. And I said, you know, cool, I'll do it. And we'll get, you know, we'll do Balticon. The next day he'd sent me the attachments of the files and said, oh, and hey, we're also playing this cancer.
Yeah. Fundraiser.
Fundraiser. So, you know, you're welcome to sit in on that too. It's on such and so date.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started learning the songs. I had 12 songs to learn.
In a week and a half.
In a week and a half. Uh-huh. We got together for one practice session with the full band. So I got to meet the rest of the band because before it was just the drummer.
Yeah.
And basically we played through the set. They were pretty blown away that I had learned the songs as well as I had in such a short period of time. And the guitarist, Dennis, was like, yeah, I still use a cheat sheet. I've got and he did. He had this little notebook. And when they say, what song are we going to do? We flip through the pages. And I had mostly had them because he's, you're one up on me. You got to memorize. Still use a cheat sheet. Which, you know, I was still blowing it left and right. I mean, that's still fresh to me.
Yeah.
And so, boom, we played Balticon. Oh, I was just blown away by how many people came out.
The room was pretty fairly packed. Yeah.
And everybody had a great time. Yeah. And it was just so much fun.
Yeah. You guys all really clicked.
Yeah, and that was our second time playing together.
Not second performance.
No.
Second time playing together.
It was wild. And so, yeah, basically when we had all gotten together for that first practice and kind of said, oh, yeah, we can make this work. It doesn't have to be every Saturday. You know, we get together on Wednesdays and, you know.
Fridays.
We do, like, at least one Saturday a month or something. So, yeah, we played the cancer benefit, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up, it was on the anniversary of my brother's death.
Which was just amazing. That was kind of the clincher. It was kind of like, yeah, you kind of got to do that. Yeah. Even before you had, like, officially joined the band. Yeah. It was like, yeah, that we couldn't think of any better way to honor your brother.
Yeah.
Playing rock and roll music, you know, to raise money for cancer treatment.
Yeah. And we've just been on fast forward. Last week, we went into the studio. We did the second day wasn't 10 hours. But anyways, a bunch of time in the studio recording a 5-song EP.
And you guys played a luau, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And LT got to see you play. Mm-hmm. He dug it, too. And he really digs the female lead singer and violinist, Jen. Everybody is just so sweet, though, because, you know, I was nervous about meeting them. I've had good and bad experiences with, you know, being with a guy in a band. They were all just really, not just really nice. I mean, obviously, knew Phil, but everybody else was just not only really nice, but also, like, really spectacular, like, people. Like, I haven't met Dennis yet, but Jen and Keith and Phil's wife, they're just like really amazing people, you know, and just blown away by them as human beings, let alone the fact that you guys get up there and really throw down some pretty damn cool music.
Yeah. If we can swing it and twist arms, we want to get Keith and Jen on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
They've got their own blender thing going. Yes, they have adopted kids. And
yes. They, that's a whole nother level of amazing.
And, they're great people. And the big Saturday practices, mm-hmm. it's a big family event. Everybody comes, they bring the kids, they cook a big dinner. The band goes down, jams out for, 45 minutes, comes up for dinner and everybody hangs out and I'll go down and play some more. And so everybody's really down to earth and really family focused.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
So we're going to have that EP out, and then, probably within a month or so, we're going to have that available for sale. The main purpose of it is to be a demo to get gigs. Yeah. So you give them to clubs and stuff so they can hear what you sound like.
I can't wait.
It was so much fun. And for me,
you were just
being an audio geek.
Yeah.
I'm really into the recording side of things.
Yeah.
And I think everybody knows I'm a gadget freak. Mm-hmm. Two giant racks, 9-foot racks filled with audio equipment, compressors and reverb units and synthesizers, and
it was cool. The musician side of you was thrilled. The geek gadget side was thrilled. It was just
synthesizers everywhere.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yep. So they're finishing up the guitar tracks and this week. No, they finished all the guitar tracks last week. This week, they're laying down all the vocal tracks. Mm-hmm. And then we're doing the mixing and mastering and everything. So can't wait to be able to share that with everybody.
Yep. I can't wait.
So my little creative heart's been over full.
Which thrills me. I've
been trying to commit to writing more, right? Mm-hmm. And during the big Sonic Boom fundraiser that we talked a whole lot about and had such a great time with, I had bid on and won a short story edit from a professional editor.
Gabrielle Harboy.
Yes.
Dragon Moon Press.
Wonder editor for Dragon Moon
Press. We met her at Dragon Con and she was just so much fun and so nice and just really funny. So I was really glad that it was somebody that we already knew.
Mm-hmm.
So that we already had kind of a trust thing there, at least for me, rather than sending it off to somebody that you don't know at all, which I know is part of the process. But
so she's edited T's books, Phil's book,
PG's
Murdered Ever on Hill. Mm-hmm. So she's worked with a bunch of our friends. And so the lot that I won was to a free edit of a short story. Mm-hmm. And it was up to, 6,000 words or something like that.
Yeah.
And she was actually down in town. Mm-hmm. She was in the D.C. area, and we met up for dinner one night.
Right.
You weren't able to go.
I was too sick to drive up.
So I just met her.
And I was pissed.
And she was like, that's so cool. You won the thing. I can't wait to see the story. And I was like, there's one story that I want to fix up to release, but I've been working on a novel, and I kind of don't want to take time away from the novel to do that.
Right.
And she said, just send me the first couple chapters. Just send the first 8,000-10,000 words and call
it good. Which was really nice. Yeah. Because that's a different project altogether.
Absolutely. Very generous. So I finally packaged it up and sent it to her.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, there's pressure,
Right.
So I'm still writing on the novel. I'm still, only halfway through with it. But she's got the first couple chapters to go through and see if I'm on the right track. And
that's so cool. I can't
how
wait
my
to see
grammar
what
is.
Yeah.
So I'm a little scared of just, the entire thing's going to be red ink. And what do you think you're doing trying to write?
And I hope you'll let me see what she edited, because I've been doing some proofreading too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm curious to see what that process looks like for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be peeking over your shoulder. Don't toy with what she sends you. Send me a copy of what she sends you and then go to them.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting.
I'm excited and happy, but terrified.
Yeah. Well, it was, I got to say how I'm really proud of you. Big shock. I'm so proud of my husband, because you've really put yourself out there in a lot of different ways. And I'm just so in awe and inspired by your bravery. You've put yourself out there musically. You've put yourself out there with your writing. And I'm just digging it. Baby steps. Yeah. A little bit, but a lot this year.
Yeah.
It's a lot in this year. And it's just, I'm loving the growth, man.
Well, thanks. You too. I mean, you wrote a novel last year. You launched your own podcast. So look at that.
All right. This is turning into like an ego stroke thing. But
yeah.
Well, thank you. But, you know, the way I look at Girls Rules is I'm just asking questions and hosting, and I'm letting, mm-hmm. I mean, I've been really lucky with the guests that I've had mm-hmm. so far. They've been really fascinating. You know, I wouldn't have packed that room in Balticon by myself. And that room was packed.
Yeah. Oh,
and
absolutely.
I was like, thank God I thought to ask these women because I didn't want, you know, I wouldn't have been sitting there alone. I've got friends, if nothing else, that would have shown up. But the room was packed, and mm-hmm. it was a great play between the audience and the authors and everything like that. So, I mean, I don't see that as being like creative. Like, I will say that the novel that I wrote is creative, and I finally, y'all, this was a big step for me.
Yeah.
I was trying to beat the NaNoWriMo. One of the prizes that you got was Create Space, gave you a free printing of your novel. Mm-hmm. So I was at the last minute trying to hurry up and get all an initial pass through because I hadn't named things. I hadn't named people. And, you know, stuff was kind of a mess. And so I was trying to get at least one pass through to meet the deadline, which I didn't meet the deadline. I would have if Create Space wasn't so damn good because mm-hmm. they have this very extensive setup process for, you know, getting your novel printed. And I was not prepared for that. Mm. So I got lost in the details. And the next time I looked, it was almost 1 a.m. So I was like, well, I missed the midnight deadline. But doing that finally gave me, I didn't have any more excuses to share it with Chooch.
Mm-hmm.
So Chooch now has rights to my document to read it, which I know you've been busy and I'm scared for when you start. So I'm glad you've got two other projects in the gate before that.
Yeah, I got invited to take part in a secret writing project.
Yeah.
I'm very excited and can't say anything about, but
it's exciting.
Very honored, very excited. Yes. Can't wait to start seeing that come out and start hyping.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm just so proud of you, babe.
We'll hear a bunch about it later.
I'm proud of my baby.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we didn't talk about this, but I know you're going to agree with me. I wanted to take just a little break, a little moment to tell everybody the great news that our friend Paulette Jackson got a few weeks ago, which is that the novel that she's been podcasting, The Empress Sword, has been picked up for publication by Dragon Moon Press.
Yeah.
So, yay, so Paulette! Cool. We're so excited. That was just like a, what?
Yeah.
Yay! Kind of thing. You know, we were all so excited. Everybody just kind of went all cheery on Twitter and all that stuff. And it's just so exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so exciting. I can't believe it.
As far as I know, I think that's her first novel that she's completed and put out there in the world. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure.
I know she's done short stories and stuff like that. I know she started Form Letter Rejection Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Based on stories that she had put out there that had not been picked up.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for her to get her novel that she's still podcasting and it's still being put out there.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you go check it out because pretty soon it's going to be published work that you can find in your library, at your Barnes & Nobles, and at your, you know, Amazon.com. So,
yeah. We've got a couple small parts in the podcast, too.
Right. Yes. Yes, we do. We have some voice acting that we did for her. And it's just, because I told her, I said, when you send me my parts, just send me my lines. I don't want to know anything. I don't want any spoilers.
No spoilers.
And she laughed. She thought it was funny. And she basically told me, you know, this is what you need to know for this, but nothing else. But for one of the scenes, there was like this whole, I knew what was going on for a good portion of the story because of my lines. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to listen until it's all the way out there. But she's had some illness and she's had, you know, there've been some issues with getting lines from people and stuff like that. So it's still not done yet. And she planned on having it completed by now. And I was finally like, that's it. I'm listening. You better get I'm starting. You better get moving. And I've actually caught up to where she is. And
you ran out of buffer.
I ran out of buffer. And I was like, oh, now I got to wait like all you other suckers. But I'm really enjoying it. She did a fantastic job with it. And I just can't wait to see where it goes next.
Yeah. So. Fun story.
So it's Paulette Jackson, Jaxton, and go check it out. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can go straight to the podcast.
Definitely.
It's awesome. I'm so excited for her. I just can't imagine that we didn't hear the squee all the way from her place. So congratulations, honey. We're so proud of you.
Congrats.
We've actually got another milestone that a friend just hit, though. Our friend Martin Darkley over at Movie Mantras. He just put up his 100th episode.
100. Very cool.
And he asked us to contribute for that, which we did. And when I listened to it, I thought I sound like just a silly little girl compared to everybody else. But I don't care. I stand by my choice.
And normally his podcast is really short. Get in, get out.
Yeah.
These little movie quotes.
Yep.
And so each episode's just a couple minutes long. And for his 100th, he invited a whole bunch of people to come in and chime in with their favorite movie quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And
I loved it.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
It really is. You guys want to find out what Myrrh Lafferty's favorite movie is? You need to go listen.
It's in there.
It's in there.
Good to hear everybody philosophize.
Yeah. And Thomas Gideon of the command line, or I guess is the command line, and of the command line. He'd be the command line. And a bunch of other really cool people, though. It's a fun listen.
Yeah.
So check that out. We'll put a link to that up also.
Cool. That'll do it for us this time.
Things have settled back down for us, so we'll hopefully talk to you again in 2 weeks.
And I'll probably load that other Balticon panel discussion into the feed.
Yep.
And
yes, please.
Then we'll have another jibber jab with us soon.
Yes. And I think I may, in case anybody's interested, I can go ahead and link to the Girls Rules podcast that we recorded at Balticon too. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, that was just a fantastic discussion.
Yeah.
Great questions from the audience. Oh, and the NaNoWriMo panel.
Mm,
that was the other one that we thought we might want to put in the feed here. So you may see a couple.
Yeah.
But probably just the link for Girls Rules. But I think the NaNoWriMo, if you're like a lot of people we know that you've kind of been doing or want to do or have been thinking about writing, they give some really good answers.
So,
tips and tricks on being successful. And actually, one of the representatives from NaNoWriMo actually showed up and was in our audience and answering questions. It was just phenomenal. So anyways, we've got some more stuff for the feed that we're going to be putting in.
Cool. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. Bye. Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to intotheblender@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 657-464-4820.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 license.
You're free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content, just not modify or make money from it.
Theme music is provided by Sharif, found on podsafeaudio.com.
For more information about the artist, head to sharifmusic.com.
That's SHARIF music.com.